Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to In the Know with Mo. I'm your host, Maureen Forte. Today we have a special show, still keeping in the mode of the prison industrial complex, but today we're going to be talking about the silence about women in prison. My co-host, along with all of you, is Brother Lionel Muhammad, and our special guest is Sister LaTanya. Gender is a protected class. The incarceration of women in the United States refers to the imprisonment of women in both prisons and jails in the United States. There are approximately 219,000 incarcerated women in the U.S., and this is according to a November 2018 report reported by the Prison Policy Initiative. So today we're going to talk about the silence about women in prison. What goes on? So my guest, Brother Lionel Muhammad, we work very close together from the streets to the suites. And I just want to welcome my brother again, Brother Lionel Muhammad. Brother Lionel, welcome to In the Know with Mo.
Well, praise be to Allah, sister. Thank you. May Allah bless you. May he keep you in his care. And sister, today I'm very excited. I'm overjoyed and overwhelmed because the sister that we have coming today that's going to share her heart, that's going to share her mind, that's going to share her spirit with our listening audience all over the country and throughout the world, this sister is not only a friend of mine, but I believe this sister is my sister because I've known this sister ever since 2005. But I'm gonna let her tell all about herself, what she do, the work she's done, and her commitment to this work in the streets. But I just thank you, Mo, for having me, and I thank you for our guest. And I just want to bring her on so we can hear from her. And I'm gonna sit back and I'm gonna listen. I'm gonna let our listening audience ask her questions and listen to what she has to say.
All right. But thank you so very much. And the listening audience, if you would like to call in, the number is 1-563-999-3585, or you can text me your questions concerned. Welcome, Sister LaTanya, to In the Know with Mo. You are live on the line.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to my Brother Lionel. I love you. From when I was in prison, you visited me, you wrote to me, you encouraged me, you empowered me, you inspired me. So thank you for always remembering me, even out in this big old world of other people that you could probably choose from. You always remember me, and I love you for that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sister. Thank you so much as well.
So just a little bit of background. I guess I can just say this part. In August of 1990, I walked into the police station on 111th. It was called Area 2 at the time. I had information about a crime. I was connected to both the victim and the perpetrator. I walked in and I was thinking that I was going to, you know, just turn this person in and walk away. I was there for about 26 hours. I was abused. I was choked. When I walked into the police station, I was 6 weeks pregnant. When I left, I had a doctor's appointment. They did allow me to leave. I found out that my baby had died inside my womb. The doctor actually said to me that the cause of death for my baby had to be trauma. And she asked me, was I an abused woman? And I told her no. But the entire time that I was in that interrogation room, I was not fed. I did not have anything to drink. I was slapped around. It was so cold in there. I just want to say that when individuals who have been incarcerated or been charged of a crime, when they tell you that the police officers made them sign the statement, believe them. My hand was held and I was choked to sign the statement, and they make you sign it, you know. And the thing of it is that when you get there, anybody who's experienced this, it's really not a statement. It's definitely not a confession. What it is a narrative, because most of the time it's written out by the time, you know, they go somewhere, they write it out, and they come in the interrogation room, and what happens then is what they're going to do to you to make you sign it, and that's where the abuse comes in. I was convicted of murder under the theory of accountability. They knew that I was not at the scene of the crime. They knew that I had never fired a gun ever in my life. They knew all of those things. Yet the system of injustice convicted me. A jury of my peers that looked nothing like me, who did not live in the neighborhood that I live in. So why do they call it a jury of your peers? I have no idea. Convicted, received 42 years. 42 years in prison. I did 21 flat calendar years. I went to prison December 2nd, 1992. I was released October 4th, 2013. So that is the foundation of my story. That is the foundation of the work that I do. I do this work because it's like a fire that is shut up in my bones for 21 years. I saw how unjust the system is, and at this point, it's just something that I just can't, you know, because I am who I am, created by the Most High, most beneficent, most grateful. I know this is the work that I'm supposed to do, but the foundation is because I have been hoodwinked and led astray and bamboozled in the system. So, that's just the very beginning. So,
this is, you know, wow. I'm just in tears listening to this, but because you went to the station to report a crime, and you were abused and mistreated and arrested. And so, was there or is there any time frame on this misinjustice that you can sue the city or sue the state for a crime that you didn't do?
So this is the thing. Many people have worked very hard. The city of Chicago and Rahm Emanuel was the first city to acknowledge the wrongdoings of, and they labeled it under John Burge. If you've ever heard of John Burge and all of his rogue henchmen from 1971 until like maybe 1993, Area 2, Logan Square, there were, 55th, there were a few police stations that were known for their abuse. The detectives were known to abuse and get confessions, and I do the air quotes, confessions out of people that they had picked up. But we're talking about a span of over, you know, four decades that they would just pick up Black and Latinx people and make them be the perpetrator of these crimes. They did that for many years. So in 2015, I think it was, Rahm Emanuel established the reparations package for individuals who were claiming that they had been tortured at these police stations. So they put together this package, and there was a time frame. They have been working on this for many, many years. I actually saw the People's Law Office did like a press conference on television. I was sitting on the top bunk in prison, and I saw the attorney Flint Taylor from the People's Law Office, you know, stand up and say, hey, you know, we are going to take action against the city of Chicago and all these rogue detectives who abused people at these police stations. So I sit up in my bed, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this was me. Because mind you, mind you, from the very beginning, I tried to tell people, you don't know what happened to me in that police station. I had never been hit by a man in my life when the police hit me, when the police choked me, when the police abused me. I have never had a whooping from my father, never. So to experience that from somebody who was supposed to be seen in the community as a good cop to protect and serve, was to, at the least to say traumatizing for me. So I go to prison, which is, again, traumatizing because the individuals that work in the prison are just as broken, you know, as we are coming in with our trauma. You got people that come to prison every day getting paid to tell you who you're not and what you'll never be. So that's a traumatic experience. We need a whole other talk show for the trauma that you experience in prison. So I'm sitting in my top bunk. I'm sorry?
I said most definitely another show needs to be done on the issue because so many women are told, especially if they have children, that you would never make a good mother. You would be a poor parent.
Yes. And guess what? You know, I don't have children, but I just remember and I will never forget to say it like that. Officers telling me, you know, that I was never going to get out of prison, and it didn't matter that I was going to school because I wasn't going to be bleepity bleep, and I could read all the books I wanted to, but I was still a murderer and things like that. And I'm like, oh, okay, you come to work, you get paid money to come to work and really open up a door and close a door, but this is what you decide to do, you know, is verbally abuse and further traumatize, you know, the women who are here. So when I saw Flint Taylor making this grand announcement at a press conference that they were going to charge officers and that individuals who, you know, had experiences were going to be, you know, at the least compensated, released from prison, this and that and this and that. I did everything I could. I called my mom and I said, you have to get me the address to Flint Taylor's law firm. And my mom did. I got it and I wrote him a letter and I said, hey, you know, I was at Area 2 on this day. These are the detectives. This is what happened to me. You know, so he wrote me back, and he said, right out from, you know, the very minute you walked in, tell me everything they said to you. Tell me everything that happened to you, how long you stayed. I did all of that, Maureen. I did all of that, used my money in prison to send a letter certified, received the receipt back that it was signed. Flint Taylor never contacted me. So they do this reparations. They do this reparations, and they only continue to look for men. But this is what is wrong with this part of the reparations, is that if, in fact, you know that they did these things to men in these police stations, did you not ever think that there could have been a woman that walked in that police station with that man? Because guess what? There's always the baby mama, the sister, the auntie, the somebody. And guess what they did? While I was in the interrogation room, they locked up my mother and told me, okay, you don't want to confess to this crime? We're going to lock your mother up. And they paraded her in front of me, handcuffed. So when people don't believe that there is psychological trauma, there is psychological torture that happens in those interrogation rooms, and people say, why would you sign it? If you wasn't guilty, after you sit there and you didn't have your you-know-what whipped for 12 hours, you're hungry, you're freezing, they start to tell you the story. No matter how many times you say, no, this is what happened, they tell you the story. They continue to tell you the story. And guess what? Eventually, you're able to recite that story the way that they want to hear it. It's no different than when you sit with your kid and you say, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Keep doing it and see what happens. And in a day or two, who's going to be walking around the house saying A, B, C, D, E? Just imagine if you added torture with that. Just imagine. Just imagine the things that they add.
Let's take a call of Sister LaTanya.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. You're live on the line with Brother Lionel and Sister LaTanya.
Yes, hello.
Hello, you're live on the line.
How you doing, Sister Maureen and Brother Muhammad? This is Brother Kumbufu, Brother Demetrius.
Assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Rahmat to Allah. I wanted to comment, you know, about the accountability when Maureen asks, can anybody be held accountable? And that's one of the things that strongly needs to be addressed as far as the state's attorney, because you can't sue the state's attorney's office. And the state's attorney's office, a lot of times, they look at, they have exculpatory evidence. They also have evidence that is withheld, and they know pieces don't add up. And see, a lot of people don't know that the state's attorney is actually bound by law not to prosecute a case when they know that there are things in question. So that's one of the things that that's the part of genocide on the female as well as the male side of the table as far as legality is concerned in the Illinois Department of Corrections, because the state's attorney, you can't sue them. And then when it comes to the police, the first thing is asked, you have to look at a statute of limitation. That's one. So now you're barred from compensation for that. Two, they ask, well, were you abused? What force was done? Was there excessive force? That's the first thing they ask. But with those things, they don't take in thought, just as the sister was saying, the psychological trauma. These are the things that take place. This was another thing that took place in Dixon and other. Well, I know Dixon because it was a female institution in Logan, and I believe it was Jacksonville or one of those, Lincoln, that became female. But they had a lawsuit that came out about the soybean. I'm not for sure if you are familiar about the soybean lawsuit that females had filed in the Department of Correction. But just to go even deeper to show how the system is so embedded in their racist, I don't even know the words in my vernacular to describe the it's so
it's
a lot of
guys.
Exactly, but a few guys, we had already come to the conclusion, because we were like, why is it that so many brothers are having man boobs, and why are so many men so irate? So, you know, we only have time to study in these cells. So a lot of guys came up with, well, man, did you know, I believe it's Mike Madigan that owns a large share of soybean. He owns a lot of soybean, and he distributes this soybean to the Illinois Department of Corrections. I don't know if that's legal or not, but hey, that's another situation.
We're going to do another show on the soybean, because I have some other callers that want to talk about soybeans.
Okay.
They use the soybeans with women that are, what do you call it? And I should know this because I've got the hot flashes. And they use menopausal. So we'll do another.
Yes.
I want to thank you. Want to take some more calls here. Thank you, brother.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank
all
you,
right.
Sir.
So can I just say very quickly?
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. Hi.
Can I just say? Go ahead.
Thank you, Maureen, for this show. Lionel, much shout out to you, young lady. I work with Innocent Project now for almost 15 years, and this is a shame. And I'm glad that more of us are talking about this, because we need to bring light. as the black community, we need to know what's really happening. And as far as being sued, the key word is malice. You have to show malice. It's hard to show malice when you don't personally know someone. So I feel you, Queen, and because I've taken in prisoners. Jerry Millen was the 200 exoneree with Innocent Project. That was my cousin. Benny Starks, Johnny Savory, you know, many. But I am so happy that many of us are now putting our ear and beginning to listen, because this has happened time and time again, and it continues to happen because it's not enough of us getting involved. It's not enough of us touching the prisons, writing letters. Just the other day in Jackson County, I had to get the Few Good Women to write letters so that they would stop cutting off the water to our prisoners. Listen, let me tell you something. If we don't get involved, you do not know how many people are being mistreated because we don't keep an eye on them. I don't care what they've done. They should not
be put
in those situations. And the sad part with the innocent, let me tell you about the innocent. And Lionel and the young lady could tell you, there's nothing for them when they get out. Nothing.
Nah.
Nobody pays attention to the ones that went in that didn't do anything. You rather have committed a crime to come out here and get noticed before a person innocent. But the sad part is the ones that the Innocent Project look out for, and they get that big money, they go all the way to the other side. It's time for us to stand up. Maureen Forte, I thank you for this show. Lionel, I love you. Young lady, keep your head up because everything happened for a reason. You can put me back on
mute
because I'm going to continue to listen.
All right. Thank you, sister. Sister Latanya, that was Sister Karen Hicks. She's president and founder of A Few Good Women, and she too is led by the Creator.
Okay.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry, you were going to say something, but we took a caller before you were able to speak.
Yeah, I just wanted to say very quickly, the brother had mentioned that you can't sue the district attorney. No, you cannot. Most suits for those of us are filed against the city of Chicago in the state of Illinois.
Well, he's very knowledgeable.
Yeah,
we did a show last week, and the brother is very knowledgeable, and he's going to be part of our programming, because next week, as Karen was saying, we have so many people that are exonerated, and when they let them out the prison door, they let them out with $10 in their pockets, no state ID, not even a Social Security card. So we're going to be working on, that's our next week's show, Exonerated but Still Held Captive. Let's take this call here. I think this call is from Ohio, 614. Hello, caller, you're live on the line. Okay, I think that caller's just tuning in. Okay, let's go to another caller here. Welcome to In the Know with Mo. Welcome to In the Know with Mo. You're live on the line. 513. Okay, we've got a lot of callers on here, but besides the drama and the abuse that you had in the police station when you went to report a crime, how was your treatment once you were incarcerated? Because we talk about, so many women have called in, and men too, to talk about the mistreatment and abuse inside the prison by the guard. Now, here's a question here. One of the ladies here from Chicago wants to know, while you were incarcerated, did you have female guards or did you have male guards, and where were you incarcerated?
You have both. You have both female and male. And I cannot say, if you get a bad officer, it could be female. I've had bad female officers, bad male officers. It's not, you know, subject to gender. You're exposed to bad officers all day, every day. And the few who treat you humanely, who treat you as if, hey, I don't care why you're here, I'm here to do my job, you respect me, I respect you, we're talking about a handful of those. They exist. But it is a handful of those officers who they don't go look you up. You know, they don't want to know how much time you got.
you know, they don't address you as, you know, you killed this person. You know, they don't do that. I'm just here, and it's a handful of them, and I thank God for those ones. The other broken individuals who came to work every day with that uniform on to make us miserable, plentiful. They were plentiful. Mm-hmm. I was incarcerated in Dwight, Lincoln, mm-hmm. and Logan.
So let me get this clear. You did not commit a crime. You did not kill anybody.
I did not kill anybody. My crime was that I knew I was connected to the perpetrator. So they made the story the way they wanted it to be.
Okay. And so it's like we tell the young people out here in the street today, especially now that teenagers can drive cars earlier, 16 or 15 years old. And if you put somebody in your car, pick up one of your friends that have drugs or a gun, a weapon, and then the police pull them over and find out that there's drugs or a weapon in the car. The car is confiscated. The person is on the car. They are arrested because of their association. You know, we have done a lot of expungements, and in the past that I held, I did one for 1,500 people with pro bono attorneys. And it turned out they were women, a lot of women trying to get their records expunged. But it wasn't that they committed crimes because they were in the car with their old man. And so because of association, they were arrested and convicted. There's a difference between arrested. You can get arrested or they call you in. But once you get that conviction, the rap sheet, that's the hardest thing to get off of.
Oh yeah, who are you telling?
So what is your status now? Now that you have served your time, do you have the conviction on, or did they erase that, or do you still have to file for a clemency?
So I did speak to an attorney once I was finally acknowledged as being. Once they went through the paperwork and saw that I was there, these were the detectives. These detectives are on the list. it was for me to go through the process because there's a time frame for torture survivors, those of us who claim it under that specific thing. So I spoke to a lawyer, and I was going to sue the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois, but I did not like that it was going to require a whole nother trial, you know. The things that we were going to have to do, I refused to put my mother through that again.
I
refused for my mother to have to sit on a stand and defend I refuse. It's no amount of money that they could give me to make me sit there and watch my mother cry about something that happened 30 years ago, that she had her own trauma and pain trying to support me for, you know what I'm saying, 21 years. So when I waited out under this circumstance. When I went to see the attorney, I was free. I was not sitting in a prison cell waiting for them to walk me out of there based on this. Every job that I have gotten, it has been with this X on my back. You know, every place that I have gone and spoken at, every college, every university, you know, Chicago Public Schools, you know, out of the state, every place I have been invited, I've been invited with this X on my back.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what?
Mm-hmm.
My success is not contingent upon erasing it. You know, when the time comes, Governor Rauner actually did put murder before he left. He actually changed the laws, and murder is a conviction that you can get expunged. I cannot get it expunged until 2023. And, you know, I'll try, but I'm not going to sue anybody to get it expunged and go through all of this so they can, you know, throw me some money and say, shut up and go on about your business. I like to do what I'm doing today. I do this on a regular. So that is that status. It doesn't bother me to have it.
Now, Brother Lionel, you have a question here from Detroit. The brother wants to know, his name is Samuel. Brother Samuel wants to know, the brother, Lionel Muhammad, from the Nation of Islam, he said he's attended several of the Savior's Day Fair in Detroit. He wants to know, with all your expertise that you have, what are you doing to bring some type of town hall meetings or meetings? Because just like this woman is speaking, there are some young brothers out there that need to be educated on the prison industrial complex. Brother Lionel. Did we lose Brother Lionel?
Oh, I hope not.
Can you hear me, Brother Lionel?
Okay.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay. We hear you now. Did you hear the question?
Okay. Yeah, I heard the question. You had me on mute. But first of all, this is one of the things that I've been doing for the last 20 years. I work with people like Marine Forte. And I'm working with Minister Farrakhan, National Prison Reform Minister. I'm the assistant to Minister Farrakhan, National Assistant Prison Reform Minister of the Nation of Islam, Minister Abdullah. So right now we're in progress of doing Zoom calls and galvanizing brothers and sisters throughout the country and throughout the state. But one thing that's very, very critical, and I want to address that to the brothers, this. In every state, in every city, in America, we have to learn to communicate with the brothers and sisters that are locked up. So we have to start programs that allow us to be connected to the brothers and sisters that's incarcerated. That's number one, because they don't realize that they have a source of communication on the outside. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us in 1995 during the Million Man March to adopt an inmate. So one of the things that I'm doing is that I work with people all across this country trying to organize, first of all, pen pals so that we can connect with all of our brothers and sisters that's locked up. Everybody, whether they're in the mosque, whether they're in the church, whether they're in the synagogue, whether they're in various organizations, we have to connect to the brothers and sisters that's locked up. Sister Latanya will tell you that I started writing her in 2005, because I cared. I cared about the conditions of what this sister was going through, and I visited her, and I didn't even know her, but I went to see her because my heart is in this work when it comes to resurrecting us from the mental dead state that we're in to a living dead state. So I want to say that in response to what the brother, his question is, what I'm doing. I'm doing a lot. I got boots on the ground. I'm working every day, man, to make a difference in the community. And it's people like Sister Latanya, and it's people like Marine Forte. I've been working with Marine Forte almost 15, 16 years now. And we do what we do. We get out there and work. It's very few women. Marine, Karen Hicks, Sister Latanya, you got a lot of women that are out here, but they don't have the support that they need to get the job done. And we gotta do this collectively in order for us to solve our problem. So I want to thank the brother for his question. I want to thank Marine for everything we do. And Sister Latanya, there are no words that I could say to thank you enough for all that you do and for your love and your support and just for being you, sister.
Well, thank you, brother. I could say you're my mentor when it comes to that, because you paved the way. You walk what you talk.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Even though sometimes I think I may have to put him in the corner, but he does.
You got to put me in the corner. I'm serious about this. And when I met Latanya in 2005, like she said when I shared that voicemail with you, she said, I never promised her anything. I just only told her that she would hear from me. And I wrote her from 2005 until 2013. And I shared with her what God gave to me. I've never been a selfish person. So whatever God gives me, I give it to other people, because I can't take it with me when I go. So whatever he gives me, I'm giving it to other people so that they can take it and give it to other people. And I shared final calls and study guides and books and material. Everything that I get, I share it with other people just so that we can have the information that we need to move forward.
You do. Yeah. You do.
Let's take another call. I got a call, I believe, from Ohio. Let's see. Welcome, caller. You're live on the line.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Welcome to In the Know with Mo.
Okay, great. I am calling. My brother just made me aware that this show was happening and that you guys were here. And I listened in, and I just wanted to briefly just kind of share a situation that occurred here, that is occurring here in Cincinnati, Ohio, with myself and my family. I was in prison for a year, approximately 4 years. My daughter and then my two sons were also in prison. We were in prison.
We got some paper crunching going on.
No, not me, not here.
Sorry.
Okay.
We
were in prison for what the prosecutor described in open court as essentially trespassing.
Oh.
Now, we were charged. We were charged with felony offenses, theft, unauthorized use of property, and tampering with records. We were indicted.
Mm-hmm.
There was no sworn affidavit, no criminal reports. We did not have an accuser, nothing brought to court before an alleged grand jury. How we know this is because we represented ourselves. In the process of doing that, we were able to cross-examine all of the so-called witnesses, state witnesses, so we were able to get to the truth of the matter. There is so much that's going through my head right now in terms of what we experienced, just my experience inside of the prison, outside, going through the trial. They wanted to do something we had not done, and we refused to do it. And as a result of that, we ended up being, having to deal with this time. But
so are you working with Brother Darryl and Brother Darryl there in Cincinnati, Ohio? Are you
Brother
Darryl?
Yes, ma'am. Brother Darryl is the person. When I said my brother called me and told me about this show, that is my brother.
Oh, he's my brother too.
Yes, that's definitely my brother.
I have a lot of family there in Cincinnati. The Shuttlesworth. Family, which is down around the corner from the mosque there on Shuttlesworth Drive.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brother Lionel, between you and Brother Darryl, can you all get with this young lady and work something out with her?
Yes, we sure will. We sure will. Matter of fact, after this call, Brother Darryl and I will be on the phone. We was on the phone earlier. We'll be talking, and we'll be getting with you, sister, as to
thank
see
you.
How we can assist you further. Yes, we will.
Say one thing about the prison system. As the result of being in the prison system, you know, they give you the mandatory passes where you have to medical examinations and all of that. I had an examination. When I was examined, the doctor who was performing the examination saw something that she did not recognize, and this was a pelvic or a uterus examination. Well, I was sent to a specialist, and about 2 weeks from that date, I got another mandatory slip. I went to that one. When I got there, the doctor inserted the instrument inside of my uterus, and she began to look, and she says, oh, I think I see what the other doctor was talking about. So next thing you know, I'm feeling this excruciating pain. I mean, excruciating pain. And I'm telling her, like, this is really, really painful. This is killing me. I can't deal with this. Then she says to me something like, well, maybe it's just the instrument. And instead of the pressure of what I'm doing, maybe it's just the instrument. So afterwards, she shows me this mask that she puts in this little specimen cup. And she says she's going to send it away to the lab to see what it was. So, you know, I'm in shock because my body has just gone through something traumatic. So I get dressed. I go, I wait in the hall with, you know, the other prisoners to be able to be taken back. And, you know, tears are coming down my eyes, but I'm emotionally not even there. So in 2 weeks, I have to go back to get the results. I go back, and she tells me that what she removed was a fibroid tumor. Now, what was interesting about that is that there was no anesthesia. There was no consent. There was no nothing.
Like slavery.
And it actually took me a couple of months to even cry about that situation. I did not know what to do with that at all.
So did you ever get a copy of your medical records?
They wouldn't give it to me. I asked for it. But I'm in the process of we're in federal court. We filed a writ of habeas corpus. And just about 4 months or so, I guess maybe 3 months now, the federal court has ordered Common Pleas Court to deal with the situation. They're supposed to, according to federal rules, terms, all of our allegations in the writ of habeas corpus. The prosecutors failed to do it.
I'm gonna have to cut you off because our time is running out. But Brother Daryl, Brother Lionel, Muhammad will be in touch with you. I want to thank you for your call though, because
I would
like to hear a follow up on whether or not you get that medical records too.
Thank you, caller.
I want to go back to Sister Karen Hicks. Karen Hicks, are you on the line? Karen, Sister Karen. All right,
Maureen, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay. Listen. Hello.
I just want to say this. Can you hear me, Mom?
Yes, we can
hear
you.
Okay. Hello, I want to say this in my most. I'm in tears because I've been praying for this for years. Because I've had prisoners in my home where it's not enough of us who care. And I just tell anybody that's listening, get involved. Please get involved. A lot of people don't understand me because I'm very passionate about this, but I transported these people. 400 people
a day, I transported
because they made money. They set you up. They make money. I turned away from this type of business because of what they did to our people. I just say this to everybody who's listening. It's our time. And the only way this stops is we got to get involved. We got to get involved. You got to take your time out. Get on these phone calls. Encourage somebody. Send a letter. Make something happen. Because right now
is
our time. And America has to pay for what is done. You all don't even know how happy I am to be on this call. But I'm also saying, my people, don't just listen to a program. Get involved in the program. Because the more we stand up, the less they can do to us. I don't want to take up no more time. Please get involved, because I'm going to stay involved, and I'm going to die trying to help another person live, because that's what we come here for. As long as I help somebody, the Creator got me. It's our time, my people. There's no way in the world we should be going through this, and we just look at each other like, oh, okay, you did your time. No. It's our fault that this stuff is going out. Love you.
Exactly.
Love you too.
Thank you,
Karen. That's right.
And Karen has a live broadcast that she does, Making Love, comes on every Wednesday from 5 to 6 on Facebook Live. It's on the Truth Network. So, but you have to get involved, you know. I'm a double elected official. I never tell anybody I'm a double elected official or elected official. I'm out here working for the people. And the first thing somebody will come up and say to me is, her son or her husband must have been incarcerated. I don't have no husband, and I don't have no son. And thank God my girls are professional, grown women. But I'm out here helping somebody else who's afraid to stand up and afraid to speak up. And I make a point to register as many new citizen reentry or whatever title
society wants
to put on. I make a point to register because to vote. And when you're educated on the voting process, you can change laws. The craziest thing is that when people come out of prison, they can run for every office here in the state of Illinois, but municipality. They can't be the mayor, but they can be the president of the United States, the senator, and the state rep. How backwards is that? So this show has really, I mean, this show, Sister Latanya, you really have touched my heart, because what happens, we as a society, we just assume that the prison is about men. We never look at the misuse and the abuse of women in the prison. And every Christmas, I go to the Cook County Jail with Reverend Jackson. I've been doing that for the past 25 years, except for this past Christmas. And I go there, and I walk amongst the inmates. Those are waiting for trial. And some of them are just, there's so many women now that are being locked up, but we don't know their stories. We don't know why they're being locked up. We don't know what they had to do in order to take care of their families. But yet and still, they are not to be disrespected. They are not to be abused and neglected. There is a young man that's locked up now. Of course, I would like to go inside there into the prison and knock him around myself a couple of times because he killed a cousin. But again, I have to practice what I preach. So, I mean, this show is very, very, very touching on my heart. And I thank you, Sister Latanya, for coming up and speaking. It's just something.
Well, thank you so much.
We overlook the women. We overlook that, you know, the women in the population has really increased of women in the prison system. And I don't know if it's because they're not, the men are not there, the men are locked up, the women are the heads of the household. I don't know. And I'm not in a position to tell or to say why, because we don't know what's going on. But I know that jail incarceration can push a woman and her family further into poverty, because poverty is a root cause of a lot of violence.
But you know what, Marine, listen to this here. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad say a nation can rise no higher than the condition of a woman. And
yeah,
men
absolutely
have to understand that the woman is first, and
mm-hmm.
she's the second self of Almighty God. So when a woman is torn down, the nation is torn down. See, women have been ignored that are in these penal institutions throughout the country and throughout the world as if they don't exist. But you have to realize the value of her as a woman, because if it wasn't for her, there would be no us. She's the mother
yeah.
of civilization.
Yeah.
So I honor that fact, and that's why we're bringing this to the light, so that the world can know the value of the woman, especially the black woman of America and throughout the world. There's no woman greater than the black woman. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's no woman
yes.
greater than her.
Yes. And brother Lionel, when you speak with Brother Daryl Muhammad with the sister from Ohio, make sure or ask Brother Daryl if he would take the young lady to my uncle's church, Greater New Life in Cincinnati, because I'm not trying to push anybody's religion, but I want them to know, and they do know that Brother Daryl, because every time I'm in Ohio, Brother Daryl or Brother James Muhammad are there. I just want her to know that here in Chicago, I got a strong family, including Brother Daryl and the nation there in Ohio. Oh,
well, you know what
much.
I'm gonna do, Marine? I'm gonna do
yeah.
one better than that. The next time
yeah.
that I go up there, I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna get Brother Daryl, and we're gonna go get that sister, and I'm gonna go with her. We're gonna take a picture and send to you so that you can send it to our listening audience throughout the country that we took her to that church. Not that we sent her, but we took her to that church, because I'm going to
yeah,
go right along
yeah.
with her.
Hey, and in fact, I may just get my backpack and ride along with you, too. I'm a free woman. I'm a free woman. I'm telling you. We have another caller here. I have another caller here from Ohio. This is Brother Daryl. 333? Okay. All right. Well, hey, let's see. I've got another caller here. This is 1384. You're live on the line. We're just tuning in, just listening. Hello? Okay. Well, I have a lot of listeners here on the board. Phil from Calumet City says this is a great show because we overlook the fact that women are our mothers, our leaders, head of household, and he's just really shocked to hear about the abuse that took place with the sister at the police station on 111. Yeah, and you know what? I think what happened, people in uniform think they're large and in charge, you know, just like with the Antoinette Young situation, how if you look at the video, how they busted in that woman's house and handcuffed her hands behind her back instead of handcuffing her with her hands in front. That way she could have concealed her breast and her lower genital areas, but they didn't do that. So I wonder what was the whole thing. And that's abuse. That's abuse, and I'm also going to put it in the form of trafficking, too. So I'm going to we're coming to the end of our show. We almost need a two hours of this show. But, Sister LaTanya, I want to have some last words with you. I'm going to leave it open for you or tell the people if you would like, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, to get in touch with you or through Brother Lionel Muhammad, because we need to be able to educate our young women. We need to do a forum for our young women. We always overlook the young ladies, but the young women need to be educated. The parents of juveniles need to be educated, because if you have a child that has committed a crime at 15, 16, they have until they are 21, depending on the crime, they have that record expunged. You know, so I want to just leave you with Sister LaTanya. Tell us some closing remarks.
So again, I just want to say thank you so much for having me. Thanks to all the listeners. I'm really excited. I would love to meet Ms. Karen Hicks, because if she is running a few good women, I would hope to slide on in and be another good woman to add to the fight. But like to say in closing is just that we as a community of people have to remember that we have to start in our own communities first and take ourselves seriously and respect ourselves first, and then we go out and demand, you know, things. But we're never going to get the help that we need from the people who enslaved us, who incarcerate us. We have to establish the help and the care and the respect, and we have to do that in our own communities. We have to. And if we don't do that, then it's like, you know, the slave master is never gone. And I got this from my brother. The slave master is never just going to willingly free us. You know what I'm saying? we have to be free indeed on our own first.
Yes. Well, I'm going to, with your permission, Sister LaTanya, I will share your information with Karen Hicks. As I mentioned, she does a few good women. They do a lot of things out here in the street, from cleaning up the neighborhood, addressing social illnesses, fighting the injustice. And she has a radio show also that goes live on Facebook Live with the Truth Network. So if that's okay with you, you know, you can discuss with Brother Lionel. Okay. And we'll get you two situated together. Brother Lionel, give us some closing words on today's show. And next week we're doing exonerated but still held captive.
Maureen, it's an honor. It's an honor for me. I think our listening audience throughout the country and throughout the world who have supported us in doing what we do. I thank my sister over and over and over again. Words just can't express how thankful I am for her diligence and her sincere heart in doing what she do to make it a reality in our lives. And I want to thank Almighty God for all of us, for allowing us to come together, to allow us to do this work, to allow us to connect with our people in the streets, and together we can make a difference. To God divided, we fall.
And I want to thank you, Brother Lionel. I want to thank you, Sister LaTanya. I want to thank all of you, my co-hosts, as I'm calling you, for tuning in and calling in and sending a text message, being part of In the Know with Mo. You know, this is the show that we try to educate and elevate the minds of our people, fighting for injustice. And tomorrow we celebrate Dr. King's birthday. And one of his quotes says, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." Until next week, when our show will be on Exonerated but Still Held Captive. Stay focused and be blessed. You've been listening to In the Know with Mo, with Lionel Muhammad and Sister Matanya. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm complicated.